T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The following is a paid program.
You'll get in town. You got fancy clothes.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon, everybody. I am Rich Orris, home consultant with Mosby Building Arts, and also your host of Right at Home with Rich for the next hour. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I've got a full hour today. We've got bathrooms, and more bathrooms. Yes, today for me and for you is bathroom day. Let's converse on the reasons to remodel it, design ideas. I've got most valuable trends. I've got some details you need to know about remodeling and mistakes to avoid, all inside of your bathroom. And as always, you can call in today and ask my advice on any of your remodeling questions. The number you need, 314-241-9797. Far away or over on the Illinois side, we got 866-455-9797. And keep in mind, when you call in today, you are eligible for that $25 Stephanina's gift card. Not only is their Steph's Special Pizza the best pizza in St. Louis, well, at least in my opinion, but we're talking an entire menu of authentic Italian food. I promise you, you are going to love it. The number you need, write this down, 314-241-9797, and make sure you leave us your phone number so I can contact you when you're the big winner. And as always, halfway through the show, I will bring up my Right at Home hack. You're definitely going to want to stay tuned for this one today. And also today, my question for everyone out there, my question for you is what do you think the median age of homes in the United States is? So if you think you got a guess on the average age of a home in the United States, give us a call. You'll get your name in that hat for that Stephanina's gift card at the end of the show. Give me a call with your guess, 314-241-9797. And I also thought I would just maybe start off today kind of going over the why, you know, something we're doing at Mosby all the time as I visit people and take a look at their homes and their projects, you know, really getting the answer to the why of what you're doing and what are some of your reasons, you know, for doing it. So when we look at, you know, a bathroom, and no matter how long you've lived in your home, you know, the idea of updating your home will definitely cross your mind at some point. It pretty much does everybody's. And that kind of plays into that median age, the average age of a home in the United States. But you spend a lot of time, you know, in your bathroom. You've got a lot that you do in there, a lot of needs for the bathroom space. And so when we go out and we're visiting and we're seeing people, you know, as I come into homes, you know, some of the reasons I see that people call in about their bathrooms, not in any particular order, but, you know, a big one is certainly that the bathroom has, you know, a water leak. There's some, you know, it's older, there's some plumbing issues, and there's, you know, obvious concerns for homeowners, you know, when this stuff starts to happen. And so they're looking at, well, while I'm, you know, correcting plumbing issues, while I'm, you know, getting things fixed up, then maybe it's time to just kind of update. And if we need to fix the drain under the sink, maybe it's time for a new cabinet and top and, you know, things like that. Kind of that killing two birds with one stone deal going through. And because sometimes you got to tear out some walls and you got to take out some vanities or even, you know, remove a tub or something to get these drain lines fixed. When you get into really older homes, and you're into the mud set floors and the plaster walls, it gets even more difficult. And, you know, you can end up with a plumbing pipe running through a concrete mud set floor from one side to the other, and you are ripping out, you know, tile and 4 or 5 inches of concrete just to get this pipe replaced. And so sometimes these leaks in really older homes can get you into quite the bathroom remodel, whether you kind of like it or not. So, you know, thinking of that plaster is the plaster, you know, coming apart, getting old, drywall peeling, things like that, moisture problems in the home, in the bathroom. Improper ventilation is always a big thing that people are calling us about and trying to figure out, why do I have mold around the edges or in my shower? And so they're doing a lot of, you know, fixing and updating for that reason. Probably one of the most populars, you know, is your house just simply outdated? You know, falls into that question of that median, you know, home age. Homes are older than we think. So they just need to be updated, and they're just no longer in style and, you know, not visually appealing anymore. So, you know, they just get into, I don't really have issues. I don't really have leaks. My moisture seems to be okay, but I just want to update my space and make it, you know, nicer and more appealing for me. So in a big one that comes across, and one that we deal with at Mosby all the time, because we're talking about low thresholds to get in and out and no steps into the shower and, you know, accessibility kind of options in the bathroom, you know, so a big need for why people would remodel their bathroom is, you know, their particular changing needs, you know, in life, wheelchairs and grab bars and, you know, getting older means that things just change. Your needs change, your eyes change, your mobility changes. So aging in place becomes, you know, more of the topic. How can you remain in your home, you know, longer? The functionality of your layout and how do you utilize that? And do you use the tub? And maybe you replace that for a walk-in shower with little or no step. You know, these are all kind of modern and traditional things that we do as we age in our bathrooms to, you know, get the benefits of being able to stay in the home longer. And that is certainly one of the big reasons, you know, people call into us, look into our Right Bath, and all of that is they're really thinking changes. How do I change my bathroom for my needs? And it's something we can help, you know, everybody out with. So I definitely invite everyone out there, you know, you can give Right Bath a call at 314-909-1820 and find out exactly what we do and how we're all about. We'd love to come out and see your project, see your bathroom. And I'd also, for today, I think we'll go ahead and get into our first break here. But I want to invite you on that question. What do you think the average age of a home in the United States is? Bring in your guests and you'll get on the list for that gift card. Give me a call, 314-241-9797. There's always something happening. All right, we are back. I am so excited today. I have so much bathroom information for you, but I want to get into some calls, and I want to get you guys involved in this for sure. So again, that question, if you have a guess at the average age of a home in the United States, feel free to give me a call, take a guess, get in on that gift card, 314-241-9797. Or if you have anything else that, you know, you want to ask me about, you want advice on, about anything going on around your house, remodeling, maybe some DIY remodeling you're doing, or if you're having something done or planning on something, let's get in. Let's have a conversation about that. And if you're over in Illinois or far away, 866-455-9797, or around St. Louis, 314-241-9797. And so I thought I would get into, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we have out there in our industry. And I know, Eric, you've been doing this like with your vanity and your bathroom and stuff and trying to, you know, get some stuff remodeled and trying to figure out some ideas. And so some design ideas for smaller bathrooms. Mm-hmm. You know, the small bathroom, and I was kind of talking last week with the designers I had on about trying to design a whole house with my son, you know, when he was taking an architecture class in high school, and how hard it was. So when you look at a little bitty bathroom, and yeah. you think, all right, think of all the things that you need in that bathroom. You need to function, you need storage, you need, you know, to shower, you need all these different things going on. How do you fit that, you know, in such a small space? And how do you make it work and you know, the different things that you're trying to figure out in a tiny space? It's definitely one of the bigger challenges, you know, for us and for our designers and everything else. And what do you do in such, because bathrooms are small.
It's not enough to go just look at a catalog of vanities and say, hey, that one looks okay. Yeah. Slap it in there and it's like, oh, wait, but the bathroom doesn't work.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, and you can't get around well. And so one of the first design ideas that we've got for smaller bathrooms is actually involving the vanities. The first two, actually, is a more of a round vanity. Using something with curves is particularly smaller than rectangle, square. So it'll leave a little more kind of air room space around that bathroom to get around using something that's a rounded edge. And then you've got no corners or anything like that you got to worry about, you know, bumping into. Another one with the vanity to try and gain space is a corner vanity. Turn it and put it in the corner and you can really, it definitely gets smaller, but you can, you know, get more of a path to move around and get in and out of the shower and, you know, work inside of that bathroom for you. So another one, the third one that I have here is skip the vanity altogether and go to a wall-mounted sink. This is something they did years and years ago, and it definitely create some open air, you know, area to walk in and out, and won't crowd your walkway if you just have a simple wall mounted. And then it just feels even, you know, bigger in there. And another idea for trying to gain some countertop space would be a wall mounted faucet. When you put your faucet in the wall, you can actually add around four, 6 inches or so to the usable surface of that sink top, not having that right, you know, in the actual countertop. So it'll create a little bit of more space in a particularly small area. One of my favorites that we've done a few times that I really, really like is the wall-mounted toilet. The wall-mounted toilet is really cool, and it saves space in a couple ways because all the plumbing parts are inside, they're behind the wall. So the toilet doesn't extend out into the room nearly as far as a traditional toilet with a tank and, you know, everything on there. And the other cool thing is it literally floats above the floor, makes cleaning so much easier, you know, around that area. And it really, the other cool thing is you can set your height. So you don't even have to be like adult height. You can figure out the optimal height for you, and you can put that toilet actually at the perfect seat height. It's really cool, actually. A lot more involved in getting it, you know, mounted and installed. And I will warn people that in most bathrooms are typical smaller 5x8 bathrooms, the plumbing stack is almost always directly behind the toilet, and you will have to move that around the toilet tank and everything that goes inside the wall in order to get that wall mounted, you know, toilet. And so a lot of contractors, a lot of people just try and avoid that because they just don't want to get into all that work. We can't really do that. Another option is a wall shelf, like a vertical wall shelving. You can kind of put something between you know, the vanity and your medicine cabinet. You can kind of run it over by the toilet or over the toilet area too, kind of get things off of your countertop and up onto there, create a little more countertop space and all of that. Or higher up, you can put some other, you know, wall shelving over the toilet or a cabinet over the toilet to have more space to, you know, store things and put things. And, you know, one thing that is another kind of more major construction thing is, you know, doors that don't swing in small spaces. Having a glass shower door that doesn't swing, doors require about 2.5 feet to swing into the room. So either the door coming in the bathroom, making it a pocket door, or if you don't have wall space, maybe, you know, inside the wall, making it a barn style on the outside of the bathroom, or doing a shower door that doesn't swing out into the room, or a stationary glass panel or a sliding door would help out a lot, you know, on that that bathroom there. So I think we're going to get, I'm going to go to the phones real quick to Mark, and let's see what Mark's got going for us today. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling. Are you with us?
I am. Thanks very much.
No problem. Yeah, You're welcome. What do you got?
I'm doing a DIY, and I've gone with, I think I'm going to do an onyx pan and make it a little wider, just because I'm a big boy, and I think that'll make the most sense. And then sure, I'm going to do kind of what you recommended, corner sink to save some room, and then allow the toilet to be moved over just a little bit to allow for that extra wide shower.
Yeah.
But my main question for today is, and, you know, I'm getting, you know, from all the expert installers, it seems to be a personal preference. But what do you recommend, or what do your installers feel the difference between using hardy board and the cement board as far as framing in the shower?
Or it depends a lot on what you're putting on the shower walls, the actual material. So are you doing a ceramic tile?
I am just going to do a regular ceramic tile on the walls.
Okay. So I would recommend going to definitely not the cement board going towards a sealed system on those walls. Where so at Mosby, we use a product called Weedy. It's W-E-D-I. And it actually... Mm-hmm. is a nice smooth, you know, wall panel, and you can seal it. You use like urethane and all this stuff to actually seal those walls up. When you do a shower niche, like recessed inside the wall with that tile, that's the most common spot that you start to get leaks, and you start to get your grout cracking, and you've got a flat surface, and that's kind of inside your wall cavity. So with that Weedy system, they make a shower niche that goes into the wall, but it's kind of flanged to the face of the wall and then seals into the wall system. So if you get a leak in that inside of that shower niche where you put your soap bottles and everything, it will not get inside the framing of the wall. So personally, if you could, I would go a little far and above both of those products. But on the food chain, I would say the hardy stuff over the cement board for sure. And then if you can graduate up towards something even more sealed than that, like the Weedy boards or something like that, I would definitely recommend going up as far as that. And that'll really protect behind that tile.
Outstanding. Thank you. I hadn't heard of that product, and that's just something else to explore. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Look it up online, W-E-D-I, and it is definitely a great product for behind ceramic tile. And they also, there's a shower base, too, that you can get out of the same material that seals and everything if you're deciding to tile the actual shower floor. But so for now, we're going to get into, we've got our hard break here that I don't get to avoid or push off. So, Kim, if you could hold the line, I will get to you and also have my ride at home hack when we return. All right, we are back. And as promised, I'm going to go straight to Kim here on the line and get to your question. Kim, are you with us, and what do you have going on?
Yes, I'm with you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having the show. I always learn a lot listening to it.
Awesome. Hey, I really appreciate that. So what do you need today?
Well, our house is about 25 years old, and one of the smaller bedrooms backs up to or shares a wall with the master bath. And I've noticed lately, and I don't know if I just didn't notice it before, but it seems worse. Like if you flush the toilet in the master bathroom, it sounds really, really loud through the wall into, you know, like if you're in the second bedroom. If you flush the master bathroom toilet, I noticed it also seems pretty loud in the third bedroom too. Like loud enough, if somebody was in there sleeping, it's loud enough to wake somebody up. And I just wondered, can that change over time? And is there anything we can do about it to make it quieter?
So how old did you say your house was again?
Only about 25 years old.
Okay, yeah. So and the bathroom backs up to a bedroom. Is that what you said?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah, boy, the real hard part is that you've got plumbing, you've got plastic, you know, PVC plumbing pipes. And they, one of the downfalls to, you know, the benefit is they last a lot longer, you know, they can last longer than cast iron and all that, but they're way noisier than cast iron. They expand and contract. They'll make a knocking noise sometime. So it's really very hard to change the sound level, you know, because there's way more sound that comes out of that plastic than like a metal, like a cast iron pipe. So really the only thing you could do is try and insulate somehow and maybe even making the bedroom on the other side that you could hear so much, making it smaller by ways of like adding a wall that's insulated really well and do some sound deadening, you know, to that. But I got to tell you, the other problem you're going to have is a lot of that might be coming through the floor also. So, you know, when that stack drops down, you've got the floor of the bathroom and the floor of the bedroom, and they're connected and the floor joists run through. And if any of that sound's coming from that floor, you may end up, to try and really negate that sound, going through the floor, like either taking up, you know, the carpet and the plywood and doing some kind of insulation there, or coming through drywall, or hope maybe if it's an unfinished basement, if you're on like a ranch, then you could go downstairs and try and, you know, insulate, you know, down at the floor level also, because I don't want to trick you into thinking, wow, let's just double layer this wall, add some insulation, and it's going to be wonderful, and then you've still got it coming through the floor. So it could be a pretty big job to try and, you know, minimize the sound of those pipes.
Okay.
So.
All right. Yeah, I had thought about just wrapping stuff because it is a ranch with an unfinished basement. So you know, there's some insulation wrapping that we could probably do. But
yeah, I would try that first in the basement just to see if it helps at all.
Okay.
And that would, you know, you just kind of progress into the bigger, larger jobs.
Okay.
You know, to see how they work out. I would start there and see how it does. You know, just buy some insulation that you could just wrap directly around the pipes and see where it takes you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. No problem. You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Definitely something we deal with quite a bit. And we've got Robert on the line. So let's go ahead and get to Robert here. Are you with us? What do you got going on, Robert?
All right, Rich. Right in the middle of a two-bathroom remodels, guest and master. The guest is almost done, but I'm moving into the master now. And my question is this: I need to pull out the shower. It's a 4x3 shower size. I need to pull out the tile floor, the pan, and replace all of that, and probably two layers of the tiling that's already in there. After you do the floor. So that's one issue, and the other issue is I need a new enclosure on that 4x3 shower.
and I'm moving into a more updated brushed nickel with a swing door, blah, blah, blah. But is there, Rich, an average cost? I mean, is there a range or an average rule of thumb on the cost for the tile floor replacement in the pan as well as the enclosure that you've seen?
Not really. And cost is really, really hard because it lies so much on the size of the person or the company that you're using and, you know, the business model type that they actually have. To kind of explain that a little bit, like I was literally just talking about this same thing with a client yesterday and or day before yesterday, I think. But anyway, and we were talking about, she remodeled her bathroom and we were talking about a few other projects and she was like, wow, it seems like you've got more cost, you know, than what I'm used to. And then I kind of got into, well, how did you perform that hall bath? You know, well, she paid the person the labor to do it and she bought all the materials and they even stubbed up pipes to the second floor for a future bathroom. Did you pull permits? No. Okay, well, you've done, you know what I mean? So when you get into these different business models, I'm like, you know, a company like Mosby is going to be probably twice what that person is, you know, easily.
Right.
So it really depends on that business model and the type of, you know, company, warranty, all that stuff. It can range so much. It's like shopping for a car. You could find one at a junkyard for $75. It's got four wheels. It might get you there once or twice or 10 times, or you could buy one for hundreds of thousands, you know?
Right.
So yeah, well, cost of that is definitely very, very hard. What I look at is the type of materials to say, you know, which installations are harder or easier. You know, a good middle road shower enclosure is that Onyx material that Mark earlier was talking about using for his shower floor. You can use that on the walls too for a shower enclosure. And that's kind of a mid-ranged, you know, it's not cheap. It's not fiberglass. It you know, it's a good solid material with a great warranty and it's less expensive and easier to install than, and has less maintenance than like a ceramic tile. So there's, you know, that's what kind of guides me usually in that cost, you know, answer there.
But Rich, the enclosure is only the door where you walk in and then 4 foot down to the wall. The rest of it's, that's just glass.
Oh, you're talking about
the enclosure?
The shower door itself?
No, I'm talking about the shower door and the piece of glass that goes back to the wall. So you've got on two sides, you've got glass on two sides.
Oh, okay, so yeah.
I mean, I'm not talking a freestanding. This is up against the wall. It's in the corner of the bathroom.
Okay.
So, when I look online, they say, well, you can spend anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000.
Yeah, no, that's probably about right for a glass, you know, unit like that.
Right.
Depending on if you go with, like, the 3/8 thick, that'll have less metal. The more metal, the cheaper it'll cost. The less metal and the thicker the glass, the more it's going to cost. So yeah, I'd say that's probably a decent range for what they're talking about.
Yeah, we're just doing like a B level, B plus level, not A plus. I'm leaving the house in a couple of years.
Yeah, so you should be able to be in that 1,000-1,500 range. Do like a what they call a semi frameless, where it has more frame around it, but not so much on the door and stuff like that. And it's a 1/4 inch thick glass instead of the 3/8, so that brings the cost down a little bit. That's what I would look for is a, you know, a semi-frameless type of unit. So we do a lot of that type of stuff with H&H Glass. They're a good company that could come out and, you know, look them up and they could take a look at it and tell you what that cost would be for that.
Rich, when you demolish the flooring and pull out the pan and all that stuff and put in all the new materials for, you know, keeping everything dry, is that very labor-intensive to do a pan and a shower 4x3?
You're talking about putting ceramic tile on the shower floor?
Correct. We're pulling out the stuff that's in it now and the pan below it.
Yeah, so it is, depending on what type of product and process you use, it can be pretty labor intensive to do that. But what the other thing I was going over with Mark on the type of shower wall backing and all that is that Weedy panels. That Weedy makes a shower floor too. And basically what happens is you're paying way more for your shower floor and your walls and everything, but the installation is way simpler of that shower base. So they make, you know, you can order it any size you want, and they slope it to the drain, and you basically install this, adhere everything to it, and then you can put your tile right on it, your drain right in there. It'll all work and function like it should, and it's less labor, more material. Or you go to the cheaper materials, do your mud set pan, rubber liners, all that stuff. Much harder to do, takes way more experience, and takes way more labor, but costs less than, you know, those Weedy panels. So I would suggest, like I told Mark, look up that Weedy material, W-E-D-I, and look at those shower floors and stuff, and that may be an easy way for you to do that.
Yeah, so you're recommending go higher on the materials and less on the labor with the Weedy material product.
Yep. Yeah.
Got you. All right. Great, Rich. Thanks.
Definitely. Hey, no problem. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for the call. Great questions there, and we've had quite a few great questions today, and everybody's got their name in that hat for that Stephanina's gift card. So I'm kind of pressured up against a break here, but got some calls, didn't get that hack in, but I will get that hack in at the end of the show here in the last segment for sure. Stay tuned for that. All right, we are back. Oh, man, this flies through. Very little time left. If you have anything, you can feel free to give me a shout, 314-241-9797. I will certainly try and fit you in, but the thing I definitely have to fit in here before the show ends is my right-at-home hack. I got a great one, I feel, today. And today I just kind of went with some things that, you know, in the industry we've been doing tricks and you know, we're always at Mosby thinking about, you know, the motto is kind of smarter, quicker, faster, better. You know, how do you do things? So today I'd like to take just some regular around-the-home tasks and see if I can make them a little bit easier for you. Everybody's always looking for easier ways to perform things and do things. And, you know, so maybe I can help you get through that honey-do list just a little bit easier, better, smarter, quicker, faster for you. So one of the tricks that we've done for quite a while is using a rubber band to keep your door open. So basically, if you take a rubber band and you hook it over the handle and you twist it once and you hook it on the opposite handle, it'll cross right over that striker and hold it pushed in. So like, just for example, if you're carrying in groceries, or like this morning I was getting a washer and dryer, you know, delivered, and you do that to your handle so that way they can shut the door behind them, just kind of push it shut. They can push it open, and it doesn't latch, so you just don't have to use the handle, but you can open and close that door to kind of keep your pets in and stuff like that as you're carrying things in and out very, very easily. Another trick we've used in the past is basically gluing a magnet onto the bottom of your hammer. So that way you just don't have to put nails in your mouth as you're, you know, trying to nail things. You just stick them to that magnet on the bottom of that hammer and drive your nails in. Here's one of my personal favorites is, you know, using a strip of tape to help hang a picture. You can get it pretty much perfectly every time. And so if you've got a picture that's got like two places for your nails, if you run a piece of tape across the back of that and then mark that piece of tape right where you need each nail, you get that width kind of perfectly on there. Stick that tape on the wall where you want it. You can kind of use your level to make sure that tape's straight. Then your picture will be straight, and get your nails in there, take the tape off, and bam, there's your picture hanging real nice and easy. And you don't have to go through all this measuring and figuring to get those, you know, into the right spot or possibly miss the spot. Another trick we've got here is trying to take out a screw that's stripped. Again, turn to that rubber band. If it's kind of stripped and you're not being able to get it out real well, place a rubber band between the screwdriver and the strip screw and push that in there and start going. And that'll help kind of grip that screw head and start backing that screw out for you, even if it's a little bit stripped. And the last one I've got here is back into that screwdriver. If you're trying to do that and you're having trouble, you know, getting enough force and really getting that screwdriver to turn or to get the screws tough backing out, if you get the right size socket, you can put a socket right on the end of the screwdriver. Then you've got that socket wrench on the end, give you some leverage, push down, use that leverage to turn that screwdriver and back that screw out real easy for you. So hopefully maybe that's some little tips and tricks that will help get you through some of that DIY or that honey-do list you've probably been working on, make things easier for you the next time you hang a picture. And if you're interested in any of these hacks, I do them every week. I've got a different one every week. Did some home design ideas last week. If you're looking for any information on them, you can check me out on Facebook or Twitter. If you look Rich Orris / Mosby on Facebook or just at Rich Orris on Twitter, you can find these hacks and you can find all these, you know, you can go back and find some of the information on all of these or check out the podcast of the shows. And we will have those on my social media and everything for you from here on out. And you can find all that information. So kind of slowly running out of time here, but you know, had a really good time, and hopefully those hacks will suit you well. And you know, some of this bathroom information that we went over is going to help you. And I appreciate the calls that we had from Mark, Kim, and Robert. We had some really good questions and, you know, some really good information given out there, I feel. So I'm going to put these names, I'm getting these names in the hat, and we're going to kind of dish this around a little bit. And we're going to pull out here, and we have Mark. Mark has won the gift card. So, Mark, we will call you next week and get your information and mail that out to you. And for everybody else out there, getting this gift card is so easy. You know, because we'll just get your information, get the address, mail the thing out to you. Don't even have to, you know, come to us or come to the station or anything like that. And I think last thing I'll go over here is I forgot to mention our seminar that Mosby's going to have. Our next seminar is on some exterior stuff. It is August 24th. It will be at the Lodge of De Pere at 10:30 a.m., and you can get there around 10. They'll be getting set up, and you can register either email at events@mosby.com or just give us a call, 314-909-1800. We'll have a lot of great information, you know, on that exteriors and all the products and, you know, neat things for you there. So if you're thinking about an exterior project, come check that out. I think you will really enjoy it. So for now, I would tell everybody, stay tuned for Frisella's all around the yard. And I had a great hour, and I look forward to talking to everybody next week. Have a good week.
Get more at 971talk.com.